This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for the introduction there, and welcome here to BPN Radio, to the War Room. And we are fighting a war, in case you didn't know. Once you come to Christ, once you are amongst the elect, you know, to use this biblical terminology, once you are added to the saints, and you are still here on earth, you are engaged in warfare, whether you want to or not. I mentioned this before, you know, if you lived in the 1930s or maybe look at the First World War, if you lived in the 1915s, there was something like a draft, okay? If you were between a certain age, you couldn't do anything about it. You were drafted into the army. And by the virtue of being a German or British or American or Russian, you were drafted into the army and you couldn't escape. If you didn't want to go and if you refused to go, they pretty much put you against the wall and shot you there and then. that was a reality in this time. Now, obviously, we are living in a different decade and things are not quite as rigid as what they used to be. But believe you me, if a war starts off again in any shape or form, it doesn't take a long time until young men are forced to join the army. And I've got lots of stories in my family, you know, of... let me just tell you one or two stories. We've got time for that. One story is my grandfather. You know, he just got married. That was sort of in 1939. He worked for a public utility for an electricity power plant, and they didn't need to release any people for the war effort because they were mission critical. They had to keep the electricity grid going, and they needed the electricity grid for the war production. So he didn't need to go. Anyway, the army send a request, and my granddad, he didn't like what was going on in the 40s, and obviously he was just married. He just had a young daughter, which happened to be my mother, and he didn't want to go. Yeah, and he thought, you know, these Nazis, they were all crazy, and he was telling me the story that where he was working, they had this big map of Europe, and every morning they turned on the radio and they listened to the war report from the war ministry, and they would say that the troops were today there and there, and they had, you know, marched forward, and, you know, another 60 miles of territory being conquered, and so on, yeah. And so they had this big map of Europe on the wall, and my granddad's colleagues, they were just putting little flags to indicate where the German troops were. And that was sort of the morning routine they were doing. And my granddad, he dared to ask him, and he said, what are you going to do when you have to start taking those flags back and putting them in the other direction? And that was, you know, that was very dangerous. Yeah? They didn't like this at all, and they were quite angry with him. A few days later, there was... there was a request from the army, and the army requested, and they were going to their boss, and they said, you know, how many people can you run this electricity plant, and how many people can you spare for the war effort? And anyway, it was the Eastern Front, and everybody had to go there, so that was pretty much a death commando. And what happened is my granddad was released from his duties at the electricity plant, and even though at the time he was fairly old, he was then forced to join the war effort. He had no choice in that. He had to go. Now, his philosophy was when he... if he doesn't shoot anybody, that was his philosophy. He believed that he would walk out of it alive. And to be fair, he was there in an army unit, and there were about 1,000 people in the army unit. Only 28 came back, and my grandfather was fortunate enough to be one of them. And he said he kept his promise. He didn't shoot anybody. He didn't kill anybody in the war. That's what he said. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I kind of believe that he was telling the truth.
He even told me that once he almost killed one of the Nazi guys because they were getting very problematic. They had to walk down, march down, and he had his felt boots on because his feet were all sore. And one of the guys forced him to put his leather boots on because it didn't look right. Yeah. And he almost, he told me, he almost did him in, but he didn't do it. Okay. So, I mean, that is a war. That is a war story. Another story is from my step-grandmother and her brother. It was just right towards the end of the war, and they didn't know how long it was going to go. again, many of them didn't want to go. And my grandmother, like his sister, she told him, and I said, look, you know, they were living in the countryside. They had a farm. And she told him, I said, look, don't go back to the front. Don't go back to the front. He was on holiday from the front, from his front duties. And he said, look, just disappear in the forest. I'm going to get you food, sleep somewhere, dig in. And when the war is over, you'll be okay. At least you'll still be alive. Yeah. Anyway, he, you know, was umming and ahhing, and he felt that he was letting his country down, and you know, Call of Duty and all the rest of it, and he went back to the front and he died there. He didn't come back. And he, you know, with hindsight, you might have said he should have listened to my to his sister, my step grandmother, at you know, later on. But it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And it's something, you know, which is not a matter of choice. Yeah? You are not, you know, when a nation is caught up in an act of war, it's very difficult to say, I'm not going. I mean, many people tried to do this in America, you know, when the Vietnam crisis was on, that people were drafted in and people didn't want to go. And some people, I've heard some, you know, top politicians who later became top politicians, even presidents, they absconded to England so that they couldn't be pulled in for the draft. And others had, you know, they didn't have the option. They were pulled in for the draft and they had to go through horrendous war action. And many of them died, many were crippled, many came back and were shell-shocked. Yeah, very, very nasty business. Okay, but let's go back. We are talking about the war room, and we are talking about the war. Now, the thing is, if you are a Christian and you have given your life to Jesus Christ, maybe people didn't tell you about it, and here I am, I'm telling you about it, you are a soldier for Christ, and you are entering into a war. It's not a war against flesh and blood. It's not a war against people who, you know, who are like yourself, but maybe are not Christians or something like that. So it's not a crusade, you know, like we had in the 12th, 11th century. It's nothing to do with that. So it's not a crusade, it's not that, but it's a war, and it's a war against spiritual forces. It's a war against forces in the invisible world, and in another dimension, if you want to, you know, look at it in modern terminology. So that stuff that's going on in another dimension, that is what we are warring against. And the object of our conquest are souls of man. We want to stop them from going to hell, and we want to give them the choice and the option of receiving Jesus Christ into their hearts and going to heaven. And that's ultimately the name of the game, to use this proverbial thing. That's really what we'll do, is to use the posh theological terms, that is a calling upon our lives. That is a vocation. That is what we have been called to reach out with the gospel to the ends of the world, and to preach the gospel to all of creation until Jesus comes back. Yeah. And that is really the war that is there. Now, what is happening to try and stop this war? Now, the enemy, and we need to understand what the enemy is doing in the spiritual realm. That is where the war room comes in. The Brits, they were very good at the war. They had a very good intelligence system. The army was pretty substandard. Yeah? And I think sorry for anybody British who is listening to this, but when you look at some analysts, one example is Dunkirk, where the Germans they were beating them so fast they couldn't follow up with the supply lines. Yeah, as the front was shifting so fast, and the Brits were just running away with the tails between their legs. Yeah, they couldn't withstand the force of the German army that's being built up. Yeah, they didn't have the equipment, they didn't have the fighting power, and possibly not the determination either. It was very, very difficult for them to do this. And even, you know, at a later stage when they made the second attempt to reconquer the European continent, they really struggled. And an army that's been exhausted, that's been beaten up and, you know, fighting at several fronts, they were still giving the Allies a really hard time on the Western Front when they were coming through. And it wasn't a given that the Germans were going to lose this battle. It wasn't a given at the time. One of the big advantages the Allies had was the war rooms they had created to crack the enemy's communication. And the enemy's communication was encrypted. The German thought it was uncrackable and nobody's ever going to get to it. And they did. Yeah. And so the Allies were always one step ahead of what the Germans were doing with the intelligence that was seeping through. And that is the idea of the war room. Now, what we are trying to do here at BPN Radio is to encourage you to become aggressive in this war and to tackle it. And it's not necessarily the traditional methods, what we were using in the past, where we were, you know, writing a little tract and go to the street and give a tract to some innocent, unsuspecting person. And they just read this and they, some it works and it resonates, others it doesn't. Sometimes it's just a pickup for a conversation and people start talking about Jesus and sometimes they just get annoyed. There's more to it than that. What we have been seeing is that the enemy has been very aggressive and he's been destroying our Christian heritage in the West. It's been built up over a period of 500 years, especially in the Protestant West. And there's been a really strong Christian heritage and the enemy has been walking in and he's been destroying it. He's been using all sorts of methods, you know, through godless theologians, through godless scientists who have got nothing better to do than trying to disprove the authenticity of the Bible, through the theory of evolution is quite a biggie, Darwinism, where people, you know, have abandoned their faith in Jesus Christ, and then through false religions and through cults and many other things. And we as Christians, we need to be aggressive. We need to get up. And we need to confront what the enemy is doing. And to be able to confront it, we need to know what he's actually doing. Okay, today I want to sort of look at one aspect of what we can do in the war room. And I want to talk about podcasting secrets. So what can we do? And this is very, very simple. We've got technology at our disposal, which we had never had before. And it goes further, you know, people receiving the messages which we produce can do this anywhere, anytime, using smartphones, you know, those little devices people nowadays seem to be totally dependent upon. But we can make use of it and we can try and produce messages which can be heard anywhere at any time. And so we can set up podcasts where we create audio that is relevant to people out there. And again, we need to go into the war room. We need to find out what is affecting people, what is moving them, what's shaking them. And for example, the youth culture, I'm not totally out of touch since I'm dealing, you know, as a lecturer with young people. So I get sort of an idea of what is going on. And sometimes I'm shocked as well because I'm quite out of touch to, you know, what the youngsters are doing today. But again, we've got this youth culture. We need to understand what is happening within this youth culture. And maybe the young people in our church have got a better access to this culture than the older ones. Again, we've got, my generation as well, which I understand reasonably well. And we need to find out what is moving this generation. What are the concerns of the current generation? And what can I create? What podcasts can I create that are relevant to them and that people really want to listen to? And it does happen. People listen to podcasts on the go. They're looking for particular, you know, ideas or things, and we can create podcasts around it. I mean, for example, I've done this for many years, and I've created podcasts. I've been in radio for decades now, almost 20 years in radio, been active in radio, and as a producer, and I sort of have seen what, you know, what people like, what stirs them, what they really want to listen to. And it's very important. We need to find this out. This is number one. That's the secret of podcasting. What is stirring your potential listener, and who are you making the podcast for? You know, you need to hit a nerve. And once you hit a nerve, you get lots and lots and lots of listeners. I'll give you one example. A few years ago, there was a September thing, and everybody thought something big, some big disaster, you know, manufactured by the globalists or something, was going to be happening in September. I wasn't convinced of that, but I made a podcast of just collecting all the arguments, and the result is that it's highly unlikely that it is going to happen in this month for, you know, a couple of reasons. But nevertheless, you know, it doesn't do any harm to be prepared, to have, you know, enough food available, to, you know, have some means to defend yourself, enough water reserves, etc. There's no harm in doing that, yeah. And not even, you know, for September, but just generally, because we never know when a disaster might hit us. It hit a nerve, because everybody was hearing some stuff about it. And within a week, I had about 20,000 views on this one broadcast. And when I go to my YouTube channel, or the YouTube channel I use where I upload stuff, it's not just me, it's lots of other stuff on there as well. But when I go there, the numbers are fairly small. There may be, you know, 10, 20, maybe 30, 50 people. And that's pretty much maximum. But that one thing really hit a nerve, and there were about 20,000 listeners within a very short period of time who were tuning into this broadcast. So podcasting can be very important, but you need to try to hit a nerve. And then on the other side, you know, it's not necessarily about the masses, but it's about the one person God tries to reach out to. So there are two aspects to it. Number one is a little bit of trend research, try and find out what's going on, to try and reach out to the masses. But also, you know, open your heart and listen to the voice of God, pray about it, and find out, you know, what should you be doing? What kind of podcast should you be creating? And then just do it. And even if it's only one or two people listening to it, it doesn't matter, because they might be the ones who need to hear the message you have produced. Okay, what equipment is necessary? Not much. You know, you can do this on your smartphone, and the microphones are reasonably good in smartphones these days. You just need to download an app, you know, an app for voice recording, and you can create your podcast on your smartphone. Yeah, if you've got a computer and a laptop, plenty of software available. I would go for a very decent microphone, and they are available sort of somewhere between 20 and maybe £100. So that's about $30 to maybe $150 or something. And many of them, they've got a USB interface. They can be powered up by the USB port, and you can just plug them in. And then you need some software, and there's some free software out there as well. One is called Audacity. I'm just going to spell it for you. It's Audacity. Yeah. If you didn't get this, you can listen to this podcast again on, or to this talk again on ChristianWarRoom.com. And it's going to be talk, not sure. It's, I think it's 40-something. And you can just, you know, get your microphone, get the software. You may have to load an MP3 codec in there as well if you want to record an MP3. And that's, again, there are lots of information on the internet to do this with Audacity. And it's all free software, and it works very, very well. What else do you need? You ideally need a theme. You could do with a partner, especially if you're not a very talkative person and you've got an interview, or you just want to discuss something. And you can do this in an interview format. Or sometimes if you've got a good speaker at church and you've got, you know, very interesting sermons, evangelistic sermons as well, just record them, pick them up, and you can then make them available on the net. What else can you do? A book reading as well. And I've seen this a lot. There are a lot of people who, you know, when they go to work, they don't want to listen to music, they are bored with radio, and they just want to do something meaningful. And if you've got a good voice and you are a good reader, why not get a book, a Christian book of on a subject matter
something that's been written that's relevant, that's interesting, and just record yourself reading it. And you will... ideally without coughing all the way through. And you will find that a lot of people, you know, on their way to work, they, you know, would pick up on those books and start listening to it. And it could be, again, a ministry or an effort to try and reach out to a lot of strange people you might otherwise never come across. What else? You've got... the possibility of, and it gets a little bit more complex, you probably need a second laptop and then, you know, record maybe a Skype conversation, or you can do this with a laptop and a smartphone and just plug one into the other. Maybe you need a little mixing desk as well. And it's not that expensive. You can set up a podcast setup for less than a couple of $100. But once you've got a Skype link, you can then just phone friends or phone people, you know, or, you know, contact them via Skype, and you can have an interview, you know, through Skype or through maybe similar softwares like Viber and lots of other companies who do the same thing as well, or even WhatsApp. You can do this through WhatsApp on your smartphone, where you can then have an audio interview. Okay, what do you do? So you create your podcast, which is basically just an MP3 file with an interview, with a book reading, with a commentary you do, maybe a so-called blog, an audio blog where you voice your opinions on certain subjects, maybe just a Bible reading, yeah, or or something of interest. The next question is, where do you go? Where do you advertise it? One of them is... obviously, it's YouTube, which is free. Yeah. So the problem is with YouTube, you have to turn it into some sort of video. And the way to do it is you have to have lots of images. And you can, you know, get the images with a digital camera, with your smartphone, you know, take some landscapes, or, you know, have like a variety, or maybe take a lot of shots of flowers or whatever it may be, or something that's relevant to the talk as well. And maybe you can get some images which are relevant to the talk you're producing, you're doing. Possibly even a picture of yourself, so people know who is doing the talk. And then use software which comes with Windows. It's called Movie Maker. if it's not on your computer, you can download it for free. Doesn't cost you anything. And so far, all you have is just like free software. You've got Audacity for the audio recording. You've got Movie Maker to turn a soundtrack into a film. And then you can just upload it to YouTube. 15 minutes, you don't need to authenticate on YouTube. If it's a longer talk, you have to give a phone number or an email. And then you can make the talk as long as you want to. And YouTube has got a very good facility, so if people are looking for you, it's very easy for them to find you. Also, your talks are getting advertised, and, you know, people from all over the place will stumble onto the talks you're doing. So that is fairly straightforward, and I would recommend to you to do this. Now, another option is, it costs you a little bit of money, but there's something called Blog Talk Radio. And so you've got a phone interface as well, so people can phone in. So you get a phone number, and your talks are getting stored, and you can use the facilities, depending on how much you pay, you know, 1 hour a day to, I think the free option is about once a week for 60 minutes or something like that. Check it out. It's blogtalkradio.com. And again, a lot of people, they go to Blog Talk Radio and they just see what's going on, and they just tune in, especially if it's live as well. They tune in to, you know, some interesting talk or something that interests them. Obviously, there are other ways and methods to do this as well. So I'm just suggesting to you just a couple of ways, a couple of routes on getting busy and getting active. And maybe using materials which are available anyway, you know, like the talks in your church, or, you know, discussions you've got with friends on really interesting stuff, to turn them into audio and to then make them available to the public, to reach out possibly to parts in the world where you you've never been, you never thought you could reach out. The beauty as well is it's reasonably anonymous. So if you reach out, for example, to the Arabic world or to people who will probably try and kill you if you preach to them the gospel and people you know, come to Christ on account of your testimony, you've got a little bit of protection as well if you are clever and you anonymize your identity reasonably well. It's very hard for them to find you, to try and kill you. And again, we are fighting a war. And this is a reality. Go through church history. Christian persecution has been there from day one. And today there are more Christians persecuted than ever before. So this is real. Right, let me just finish on this. There's one verse in Romans chapter 10, and I call it the radio verse. And for me, it's probably a very significant, I wouldn't say the most significant, but a very significant verse in the Bible. And it's all about, you know, getting the message out. And it's not through TV, it's not through viewing, it's not through seeing stuff. Faith doesn't come through seeing. But Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let me repeat this. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So that's a very, very important scripture here. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So we need to preach the word of God. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you are, whether you are old, you are young, whether you are a Christian who has just been saved for a week, or you are, you know, an old bone like me, you know, has been saved for a very long time. We have got the call upon our lives to reach out with the gospel in one way or the other, and it could be through supporting, you know, those guys who are doing this, and maybe you are just an encourager. It's more important probably than the guy who's doing it. Maybe you get bitten by the bug and you've got some very vocal people in your church, in your circle of friends, and you can just encourage them to go and just talk about Jesus. Yeah? And you might be the techie guy, you know, who can set up the whole infrastructure, the software, the studio, and everything else. And all you need to do is just get the guy in and get him to talk. Or you can use something like Block Talk Radio. And all you need to do is just prompt a few questions and let other people do the talking. Again, one thing, if you are young, which I would just encourage you, look at the old people in your church. Something they would wish to do more than anything else is just talk about their lives and talk about their experiences they've had with God, they've had with the Lord. And it's so much, such a treasure, which sometimes is sitting right next to us in the church, and yet this treasure seems to be going lost because nobody listens to them, nobody draws the information out of them. And this might be a great opportunity for young Christians in your church to just reach out and to use the experience and the wisdom of the old people in your church to then make it public and to get it out there. Okay, Lord, I just want to pray for the podcasting war room, that there will be podcasting war rooms up and down the country, in America and Europe, and that young people will reach out to the old people to get your word declared out there throughout the nations. Lord, I pray for that in Jesus' name. Make it happen, make it possible. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.